Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Downtown. I'm Pastor Kermit Rickenberg. Always a pleasure to be with you folks this morning. Pastor Callison, his father-in-law had passed away about two Sundays ago, and you guys saw me then because I didn't know when he would, and it was that afternoon. So I was humbled to be here then to be with you guys, and I'm here today. He is up north visiting family, and he'll be back early this week, his clan, so we bid them safe journey. But why don't we begin this morning with the sharing of the peace. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. And since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves of our own sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. It is then Almighty God in His mercy that He has given His Son to die for you, and it is for His sake that He forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanos. Before that, I did not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. In the boat was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all of the sick and afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. The great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
Zebulun and Naphtali, oh, how sour are your shores. I must pause here for a moment. When I hear words like that in the Bible, no matter how many years I've studied it, it still comes across to me as like jargon, because I'm a very simple person with a simple mind. I find it easier to understand them when I somehow can relate it to my own culture. Here in the United States, for example, I remember when I used to be an Air Force chaplain and I was assigned to pray at a certain meeting, and Lieutenant Colonel, he didn't know anything about me, so he said, "Chaplain, where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from Ohio, sir." And he said, "Ah, flyover country, I see." So I said to him, "Well, where are you from?" And he said, "Well, I'm from New York." And I was like, "Oh." He said, what do you mean, chaplain, by "oh"? I said, well, many in what you would call flyover country, they don't see New York and New England there as, you know, as great as it once was revered in the world. And so this morning when you hear Zebulun and Naphtali, I want you to think of perhaps New York, Pennsylvania. You pick your favorite New England state. Or if you're from those, when I say Zebulun and Naphtali, you could think of flyover country as this detestable place, because that's how the ancient Jews would have saw it, because it was surrounded by so many other cultures and things, and most of the Jews there did not even practice the beliefs that they were given for many generations. So let me begin again. Zebulun and Naphtali, oh, how sour are your shores. The way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, heathen Gentile of the Gentiles. Perhaps the least of Israel's 12 sons, yet here you are displayed as among the first of the 12 tribes. The northernmost and forgotten part, it's like the northern tip of Canada where it's always cold. Who really cares about your cold and desolate region? Isaiah spoke of the darkness long ago on your shores. A land of death, he called it. And other prophets decried it as such as well. How people would rather live in spiritual darkness than in the great light. Ordinary life and minding one's business, they've come before the words given by God. For generations, Zebulun and Naphtali, they haven't believed such a word from God's prophet to help bring the light to our land. Isaiah, he spoke of such. And St. Matthew, the former tax collector, apostle, he picked up on this for his ancient Jewish audience, so that the time would come generations later when you and I could believe and understand eventually that the souls who live and swim and play in darkness, they have seen the great light. The people who have sunk down into the shadow of death, they are like you and me. This shadow of death, it is as deep as our egos are tall. And who is it other than God that would have a mirror tall enough to show my full reflection? The shadow of death, it lingers over me like a love affair or a bad habit I'd rather want to hide. And so, the people, they only care about the ordinary patterns of their life and minding their own shadows. Who actually believes that God will come as he promised? It's old rubbish, a vestige of our heritage. It's something you only hear whispered about in those synagogues, or what we today often call churches. You see, people are more willing to believe almost any form of behind-the-back gossip than that God's coming back, or that he even came in the first place. But the great light has come. It's in spite of our sunken doubts. The fulfillment and the hope of Zebulun and Naphtali, it has finally come to our dark shores. Jesus is it. Though just an ordinary man, he seems to be at first. The great light dawned on our parched souls with preaching divine, with a preaching message, so as simple as it was galvanizing and controversial. It's hard for me to think of anything culturally today that would be as galvanizing and controversial as what Jesus said. The closest thing I can think of today is what some people have been clamoring on for the last few years, saying with the political slogan, "Make America Great Again." Some people say, well, that's great. Yeah, America's great. Whereas others are galvanized and say, no, America was never that great. And it is galvanizing, it can be. But how much more galvanizing throughout all of history, all lands, is this simple phrase that Jesus said that characterized all of his preaching, which echoed the words of John the Baptist, now arrested. Simply, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I dare you next time you see people arguing over MAGA to bring that up, on how much more controversial that is. In fact, yesterday when I was picking up my mother at the airport, I seen a skywriter over Tampa, and he literally skywrited a smiley face, and it said just said Jesus over Tampa. I guess it was saying smile Jesus or smile Jesus something. But imagine if over Orlando, the skywriter would have came here and skywrited this simple phrase that characterized all of Jesus' preaching over Orlando. It said, this skywriter up here, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I can almost predict over probably at least half or more of the local Christian community would decry, saying, we don't want to make God seem like he's somehow judgmental. But you can see, if ever in so many few words, so much can be said, it's through the great light. In this simple sermon, earlier words he used like, let there be light. So much was said through so little. And look how the heavens burst when God said those words. What will his glowing words here say now that he actually walks on our shore? What effect will he have on the desolate soil and our meaningless toil in this life? Will he simply cast us out shouting like we deserve, be no more? Or will he give us something more? Instead of just giving us more, he gives us all that we need to live life and to die in peace. For he calls us to repent of this darkness that lurches within our very soul. Darkness that is loved too much by me, myself, and I. To really understand, it is the final reality of hell itself, undivine. And so, veiled in darkness, it's easy to see why one thinks that they can get away with anything, or do anything, or say anything they want about anyone without being seen. It's the coward's way. It's the comfortable way. But the great light decries us of it and dawns on us to bring things to light. I've seen everything that you've done in darkness, I've seen painful tears. They pine down your face. There is no need to smirk and still smack others around in this place. You see, my friends in Christ, you don't have to go to the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali in ancient Israel to find a wretched soul. If you just look in the mirror, you and I may find just so much more. What then can God do for the unworthy or the unwanted? How could God care about me more than I already care about myself? Well, it's from these two most unwanted lands of Israel that comes audaciously his first apostles, Zebulun and Naphtali. Though God shouldn't have been willing, he wanted you to be among the first. The wicked of the wicked, the careless and the carefree, the culturally corrupted and compromised, the shadow of the shadows, he has dawned to set you free. And the great light glows with such care over the generations of blame that have fallen here. He lights up healing and blazes that no burdened family or life can withstand. To be wanted, even wanted before all others, is to be called from God's math, to be called from the back, undeserving, to the first. And if this were a great novel or a great epic movie or a series that you'd want to binge watch, what an epic backstory. Andrew, Simon, James, and John, not just two apostles come from these two lands of the 12 tribes, but four, twice as many you'd think, if even any would be deserved. And then Simon, who's called Peter, perhaps, frankly, the dumbest of all of the apostles. He comes from such a place. This is their part of their epic backstory. The audacity that the great light Matthew's readers would have thought, the ancient Jews, what is God doing? What are the writers doing? This is crazier than what those writers were doing when they ended the Game of Thrones. If you watched that show, that would have been what the early Jewish readers would have been shaking their head about this. Why is he going here and taking leaders from such a place? But they first soon learned what it meant to be made first in line. For he said to these fishermen, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately, they did something that I don't think I would be able to do. Just leave their livelihood, leave their families even. And they became followers of him, assisting in illuminating the darkness throughout the land. These former fishermen were following to help catch men. And to catch men, more specifically, like you and me, in the darkness of our own land, only to release you into the light of the kingdom. And what hope there is then in this, with such men catching me through the ages? Catch me and release me so that I too may see and swim and play in the great light. A life like mine, everyone cares so little for, to be honest. But here is God who is caring enough to send his fishers, even from a land undeserving, keeping me to be cast into his net, even though that net cost him his life. He's caring for you to never lose sight, making you to be fully mirrored by his reflection, keeping you in the care of his creaky boat. And when he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that is his promise to you, that it's always right there around the corner where we will learn to follow him freely forever. Amen. And now may the peace of the great light be upon us all in this darkened land. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. Let us now pray for all of God's people and everyone else according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon your kingdom here on earth. Though you promise that heaven is at hand, we know that we still live in a shadow of darkness, even in this land. Help us to be wise in our travels and our journey in this life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. It's in that shadow, Lord, we ask that you would help to enlighten those minds that have been cut off from you, those who still have need of your hope, those who are lost in their own ways. So continue to send out your fishers of men so that they too may it learn the blessings of repentance and know that your kingdom is at hand for them as well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask, Lord, that you would also bless our land. Help it to be governed with peace and wisdom. The other countries and parts of the world, that they too, and their, that they might have good governance and justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we lift up also before you the concerns of this congregation. Be with Pastor Callison and his family as they journey back here safely. And Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also ask that your healing hand be upon those who are sick, those who are undergoing surgery. We know that your fame
it spread through these great rallies where people would come and bring people with all kinds of sicknesses and infirmities. And Lord, we know that you are not far off from us to help healing us even to this day, thousands of years later. And that's why we continue to come to you with our family and loved ones and members of our congregation, who those who are sick and in need of your mercy. Grant this, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask your blessing also on us during this holy meal, that your body and blood might be for our good, and that it may enrich our faith to you and also in service to our neighbor. Our neighbors who need your love and your mercy, may we extend a catching and helping hand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things we now lift before you, as well as those things owned only by you in the corners of our heart. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated for the gathering of the offering.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. For you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving grace. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servant Titus, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given to you. This do in remembrance of me." It's also in the same way that he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all your sins. The darkness of your life has been given the great light. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given for the forgiveness of all your sins. The darkness of your life has been given the great light. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all your sins. You've been caught in the net of the great light. Take and eat. The true body of Christ, given for the forgiveness of all your sins. No more darkness, but light. Take and eat. Given unto death for the forgiveness of all your sins, the darkness in your life, given the great light with healing. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all your sins, a net to be caught into for your good for all eternity. Thank you. Please rise. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you in the darkness and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor as the great light to give you peace. Amen. Please be seated.
Like to tell you about iDignity. iDignity was started back in 2008 along with Trinity and four other downtown churches. iDignity exists to serve the homeless and disadvantaged people, helping them get their identification documents so they can get housing, they can get a job, they can access their bank accounts, things like that. Each year we sponsor iDignity for 1 month, and February coming up is Trinity's month. And what we're asking for are monetary donations to help pay for the lunches for the 100 volunteers that it takes at each of our events. We're also asking if you would like to volunteer at an event. It's February 6th at the gymnasium at the Salvation Army. And if you would like to register, you go to idignity.org and you'll see a tab for volunteer. It's a very rewarding experience. If you'd like to know more about it, I'll be downstairs after the postlude. And I ask for your support, and thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. You may help yourself to poinsettias if there's still some outside by the ramp. And we'd love to have congregations help with providing lunches for our confirmation class. If you can help with that, please volunteer online. The pre-K through fourth grade Sunday school will be meeting in the back of the fellowship hall at 9:30.
Thank you.
Out of the darkness, go in peace, serve the Lord with joy. Thanks be to God.